Good evening, people. What's good? What's good? This is Ken Cook and Listen to Me Podcast. This evening, we're going to talk to a young man who I truly think have a gift. You know, a lot of people have gifts. You know, you can sing. You know, you got a gift of speech. You got a gift of art. You know, you're an artist, or, you know, you got the gift of gab, or you can, you know, there's certain gifts that you might be born with. And a lot of people don't use their gifts that God has blessed them with. But I think this young man has definitely tapped into his gift. He's a head coach of Hillcrest High School. Been a head coach only 3 short years. And in those 3 years, since 2017, he has sent 25 seniors to college on scholarships. He's, you know, back-to-back conference champs, 30 all-conference players, 8 all-area players, 2 all-state players, and if I'm not mistaken, he was conference coach of the year, 2018, and other accolades that he has accomplished over the 3-year span. I'm very excited to talk to this young man, to get inside his head, to see what it's like. You know, what type of pressures is he under, you know, when he's, you know, out here coaching these kids. And, you know, because you're more than a coach when you have all these kids. You know, you're more, they look to you as more of a coach, you know, more than a coach. You're more like a father figure, a mentor, a big brother, uncle, you know, and that can be a lot. So tonight on Listen to Me Podcast, we're going to talk to Coach Morgan Weaver from Hillcrest High School. And Listen to Me Podcast. Like I said, Listen to Me Podcast with Ken Cook. Very special guest with me tonight. hard to track this young man down and get him tied down so we can do this, but we finally got him. We got him on the phone. Coach Morgan Weaver from Hillcrest High School. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing good, man. Glad to be on with you.
My man. Now, I did a little prelude to this before I got you on, and I was letting the people know the accomplishments of the school, or of the team, since you've been at the helm as the head coach since 2017. All right, for those that don't know, Morgan, would you let people know about the history, your history, your football history? You know, you started, I know you played youth, you went to college, and was being a head coach ever in your dreams of being, or was it being a professional player?
All right, so, I started youth football with the Country Club Hills Cougars at the age of 5. My brother actually registered me early. I wasn't old enough yet to play, but he registered me early, and they let me play, and I ended up spending 3 years on widgets. I think the age limit was 6 or something like that, so we lied about my age so I could play football.
You better get them up on charges right now. I hope y'all didn't win nothing.
Yes, so I played all my youth years with the Country Club Bills Cougars. Then from that, you know, I had older cousins, you know, my older brothers, they all came through the Cougars as well, and all went on to Hillcrest. So, I mean, that was the same plan that I wanted to follow as well. So, I went to high school at Hillcrest, played all 4 years there, ended up playing varsity for 3 years. It was 2 years all conference, all area. We had a pretty good team my senior year. I had a pretty good high school career at Hillcrest High School under Coach Ernest Sutton. Was by far one of the best coaches I ever played for.
Shout out to Ernie Sutton, right?
Of course. After that, ended up earning the scholarship to Winona State University, where I spent 5 years there, got my degree, had a pretty good career there as well. Was a 3-year starter, 3 years all conference, preseason All American. Pretty much every possible accolade that you could possibly get at that level. But it was a great experience for me. And it opened up some other doors for me. So after my player career at Winona State, I earned a spot in the Senior Bowl down in Miami, Florida. I believe it's called the National Bowl, where they had collegiate scouts. I mean, I'm sorry, NFL scouts, CFL scouts, and things like that. So I ended up doing that. Ended up signing with an agent right out of college. Did a couple pro days. Nothing came out of it. It's extremely hard to go professional. Ended up playing some indoor football for a little bit, for a couple months with the Cedar Rapids Titans. After that, just really jumped right into coaching at Hillcrest High School. So, I mean, I really didn't think I was going to jump into coaching that early, because it really happened like right after college. I always knew I was going to coach someday. I just didn't think it was going to happen that soon. So, I spent 2 years as an assistant under Mark Lewis Cole. Then ultimately became the head coach job. And it was definitely an adjustment. It was something I wasn't ready for. Mm-hmm. Just jumped in the driver's seat and took control of the ship.
That's it. Now, your experience from college to playing the semi-pro in Iowa, these experiences you able to relate to the kids that you're coaching right now, right? Like you said, it's extremely hard to get into the NFL, and I'm sure some of these kids that you coach has those same aspirations, right, to be an NFL player. How do you relate your experience to them? You know, and letting them know that, you know, this is not guaranteed, and, you know, you got to get their education or whatever. How do you go about explaining this to them? Because you got some stellar kids, and you have been, you know, and Cole did, you know, the coaches before you. And, you know, I know being an NFL player is extremely hard, and it's a lot. How do you relate that to them with your experience of not making it to the NFL, per se?
Definitely, you know, I tell all my guys, the goal for us here at Hillcrest is, if you want to go to the next level and play college football, you want to go to college, we're going to help you do that. But the biggest thing is to use football to get you there. And it's extremely tough. And it's extremely tough to go from college to get in the pros. And I tell them, the main thing you need to do is secure your future and get that degree. And that's what really matters. I'm a prime example. We got other coaches that are examples of that, and it's a bunch of people on our staff that have also been through the same thing that I've been through. And I tell the guys all the time that yes, football is great. We love it. It's fun. It's extremely hard to go pro, but you can use this to secure your future and get a degree, come back home, get a job, help your family out, you know, just change your life around for the better. And a lot of guys that are coming up under me are starting to understand that now that they're in college, and they see how hard it is to be a college athlete and to even think about going, you know, to the league. So those guys are trusting my word. And they all focused on getting
that
degree.
That's good, man. That's good, because I know that we teach the kids and we try to tell the kids that our job is to get you to the next level. And with us being youth football, our job is to get them to high school and mm-hmm. to make sure they're prepared to when they come to you or whatever school they go to. And so it's not as hard on you guys to get them to the next level. The next level from you guys would be college. Now, whatever happens after that, you know, their college coaches would have to prepare them for that next level. But I think you guys, the whole staff, man, everybody that you got over there is extremely, extremely good at what y'all do. I can't say enough. I can't say enough about the Hillcrest staff, man. I think y'all, it's a blessing that, you know, and nothing against the staff before you, because I think the tide changed or the shift kind of changed when Cole took over and brought a new energy to the school. You know, and I saw that in the making, like the energy change, you know, it was more kids was dying to go there, because one, it was a couple of different aspects of that, because I would love to play for an NFL coach, for a former NFL player. And so Cole had that, Marquise had that to bring. And then his, you know, I seen how he related to the kids and bringing you guys on, and the whole energy changed there. And I think that was a great shift, man. And what y'all doing is marvelous. What's the biggest hurdle or the biggest challenge over these last 3 years of being the head coach, man? What do you think the biggest challenge is for you?
The biggest challenge is, man, everything outside of football.
Oh, right.
You're dealing with, as a head coach, you know, coaching, you know, the football game and practicing that, that's the easy part. Everything else, you know, dealing with administration, dealing with parents, you know, dealing with kids with grades, behavior, social media, reporters, you know, just dealing with everything outside of football. And I would say that, you know, that is the biggest hurdle as a head coach.
Right. Trying to keep them focused on staying in school and achieving that next goal of graduating. Yeah, that's on y'all shoulders, you know, probably more than anyone else.
Yes. That's a big focus for us is making sure our guys will finish high school on time. There are no mishaps, and also making sure they are prepared to go to the next level, whatever it is. It doesn't really have to be football. You know, we just want kids to go. We want kids to experience life outside of Country Club Hills, Hazelcrest, and Martin, because it's more to it.
Yeah.
Than, you know, those three cities right there, and that's our biggest thing. You know, it doesn't have to be college. It could be trade school. It could be whatever you want to do, as long as you're doing something and being a productive citizen of the community, and, you know, just adding value and positive vibes to the community. That's what we're about.
That's what's up. And again, man, you know, man, nothing but good things coming out of you guys, man. I want to focus on a couple of key players that you have in your program. A former player and current players. Now, and I got to bring up these players because I had interaction with these kids and seen their growth and where they are right now. Let's say Lamont Bishop, great kid, you know, and Lamont went to a JUCO, right? And then... You know, just, you know, what, this year going to OU?
Yeah, going to Oklahoma State.
Now, that mentally, I know how kids are and how they think because, again, I talk to these kids a lot and I've coached these kids on the youth level. People look at, or kids will look at a JUCO as a step down. Like, they, you know, like that's not for them. You know, we're in a society where, you know, bigger is always better. You know, the way that we think that, you know, the flashy car is the best one or the most expensive jeans is the best jeans you can buy.
Right.
And how did you get Lamont to accept going to a JUCO to get his way up, get his whatever he had to do to get more, more looks to go to a D1 college? Was that any of you guys' tutelage? Did you got to talk to him to help explain that it's not a bad thing to go to a JUCO?
Of course. The crazy thing about Lamont is, a little short story on Lamont. His senior year, Lamont played, he started out as a receiver and a linebacker for us. All right? We already knew that when he was going to be recruited, that he was going to be recruited as a linebacker. He was going to play defense in college. But we had him at receiver. And we started him the first game against Morgan Park his senior year. And this dude probably dropped about 3 or 4 wide open passes.
Wow.
Now, if anybody knows Lamont is 6'4".
Yep.
He's probably around like 220, 225 at the time. I brought Lamont in for a one-on-one meeting, and I told him we were switching this position from receiver to right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
He quit.
Wow.
He quit. So I gave him a little space, but we ended up having another meeting. And, you know, I talked to him about, you know, being a team player and doing what's best for the team and his future and everything. And he bought into it. Became a dominant right tackle for us. Now, we knew he was going to play defense for us, and we knew he was going to get recruited as a linebacker. We just had a need at tackle, and he dominated for us. And that says a lot about his character and who he is. So from that point on, I knew that he was going to be successful.
Mm.
So he ended up going to a JUCO. Iowa Central. Now, the thing about JUCO is, I don't see how kids can look at it as a step down because a lot of JUCOs, they recruit harder to me than some Division I schools. So, and that JUCO lifestyle is like a doggy dog world. Like, you really got to go to a JUCO with a focused mindset, knowing you're going to do your 2 years, 1 year, whatever it is, and knowing you're going to get out. Because if you go there, you're not focused, you're messing around in classes and things like that, you're just going to get lost in the shuffle. Lamont's a smart kid. He's a driven kid. He works extremely hard. So I had no issues with him choosing the JUCO. And it was just all about choosing the right JUCO. Good thing I had a few connections with some of my guys that I played with that were coaching at a JUCO in Iowa Central. So I felt comfortable with sending him to that JUCO with those coaches because I knew they would take care of him.
Right.
They would keep him focused. They would keep tabs on him. And if they needed me to check in on them, you know, call in on them and see how things are going, and they would do that. And I would say he had a really, really good support system between me, those coaches, and his mom.
No doubt.
And we were all able to help keep him on track. And now he's at Oklahoma State University, and he's going to play for the next 2 years of his life.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. Another kid that's in your program now that I contact with is and he went through his own adversity with health issues and whatnot, but man, I came to a couple of games, and one game in particular, man, I think my personal opinion that he changed the whole tide, the whole wave of the game on defense, and that's Marcus Douglas, the Richards game. It seemed like y'all back was against the wall for a minute, and he came up with two big stops back-to-back, and that changed everything. What type of kid is Marcus Douglas, and what do you see his future going, you know, after he leave you?
Marcus Douglas is a model kid, man. I can't say no good things about that. Dude does everything we asking him to do. GPA-wise, I think he's sitting above 3.5. He's a kid. I'll never have to worry about him getting in trouble.
Right.
I know he's gonna be on time to workouts.
Yeah.
And I know he's gonna work hard. He's gonna give me everything he's got. He's gonna take the coaching. He's gonna listen. He's gonna apply it. He's battled through some tough injuries. Like you said, it's his freshman year. You know, he ended up having open heart surgery.
Right.
So he missed his freshman season. This is the only kid I know that can go through something like that and come back your sophomore season and start on varsity.
Bam.
So he'll be going into his third year as a varsity starter, man. And this offseason, I've seen him take his mental focus and his work ethic to another level. This kid has been working extremely, extremely hard. So his future is looking real bright. So any college that gets him is getting a gem.
Right.
Is getting a coachable kid, a kid who's going to work extremely hard. He's going to give you everything you've got, and everything he's got. And I just can't wait to see him play this next season, man. He's a tough kid, man. I just can't wait.
Yeah, he is something. He got a great support system at home too. Mom and dad, both, man. The great, great, great family. Great family Marcus Douglas have, man. And, I think he's going to be great. Continue to be great at what he do, man. He's a very focused kid, man. I've been knowing him since he was, like, 7. So,
yeah. He's going to have plenty of opportunities to play at the next level. It's going to be a matter of him choosing which school he's going to want to go to.
Yeah, he's going to have his pick.
Yeah, so it won't be an issue for him at all.
Right.
And you know, it just makes it easier too as well when you have the grades. You know, we tell our kids this all the time. Your recruiting gets smaller and smaller the lower your GPA is.
Right.
And when you got high grades, you got more options and options and options and options. It makes life a lot easier for you and your family. So.
Right. Now, another kid, last kid I want to talk about, and this is not, you know, I'm only picking these three right now, I know more kids on your team, definitely, because I've been around them and you guys for a minute. But the other kid, the last kid I want to talk about is the phenom, the one that's in every headlines all the time, whether it be basketball or football, and the type of exposure that comes to the school based off just this kid alone. And a great kid, and that's Marquise Irvin. What, he number 5 in the state running back right now?
I believe he's the number 3 recruit in the state for any position. I believe he's the number 1 for running back, or number 2, I think.
Wow. Now, what type of pressure do they put on you as a coach when you have a kid that's that talented, that bring that, is it a lot of pressure? Like, you know, defenses of other schools, they try to key in on your star player, of course. But, you know, you got multiple options over there at Hillcrest. But I know that the defense be trying to set up around that kid. When you guys go into a game plan, well, first let's talk about the kid. Let's talk about Marquise Irvin for a second. Now, I've known him since he was 6. And that same drive that he have now, he had when he was 6. And I mean, you couldn't slow this kid down. And I think, I don't know if anyone in his family ever played sports like this. I'm sure I know his cousins did, because we coached them as well. But his drive, man, when he was 6 and 7 years old, you would think he's the same kid he is right now at 16, 17. And it was ridiculous. We would just sit around and watch at 8 and 9. Like his field vision is remarkable, and it was remarkable then. And I know he's a very humble kid. You don't let none of this stuff get to him. I know the pressure got to be overwhelming for him, because every time you turn around, someone's shoving a mic in his face or a camera, or, you know, asking him where he's going to go, this, and that. How do you keep him level-headed? How do you guys keep him, you know, down to earth and keep him focused on the game plan?
So when you say pressure as far as defenses and things like that, you know, honestly, Coach, with that kid on my side, I mean, I don't feel any pressure.
That's right.
At all. I mean, he is that talented, and I mean, you can ask anybody on our staff, and we say this all the time: we got a bucket.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're very comfortable with him on our side. You know, we don't have to face him on our opposing team. But as far as, you know, everything else, when him, you know, getting all this attention and things like that, I mean, he's already naturally a humble kid. And that makes life a lot easier for me. And, you know, people in the school, it's just easy when the kids are already humble. He's level-headed. He knows that he needs to continue to get better. He knows that when it's time for him to go to the next level, he's going to have to take his game up another notch. So I really don't have to do much as far as humbling him. I mean, we have a great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talk all the time. You know, we talk about these things. We talk about his dreams, his goals, and things he wants to achieve in life. So that helps a lot. I mean, you know, when we have that relationship where sometimes it isn't just player and coach, you know, it might be big brother, little brother type conversations and things like that. So, you know, that makes life a lot easier, man. I mean, everybody knows he's extremely talented, but what separates him from most kids that play football is the mentality. I mean, these are things I tell people all the time. His mentality is different. He approaches the game, every game, like, I am the best on the field, and nobody's going to stop. He has that killer instinct mentality, and he don't care who it is, who we playing against, who's their top linebacker, who's their top running back, he doesn't care. And, you know, we were talking the other day, and he was just saying, like, you know, I always want to prove myself And, you know, show them the best. And I think that's a great attitude to have, that to let you know that, hey, he's still trying to get better and better and prove that he's the best on the field, no matter what it is. You know, he came into our school as a sophomore.
Right.
And we had already had good players on the team.
Right.
And we had Corey Crones. We had Cam Maddox.
Right.
You know, we had Montez Garrett.
Right.
You know, we had all these, Jason Cole. We had all these guys on the team. And his thing was, I got to raise my play, and I got to make a name for myself because I'm already surrounded by great
players. Yeah.
Great talent. So.
Yeah, he always had that, as long as I've known him, he had that drive. He had that competitive edge that he's going to be the best on the field no matter who's on the field because he's going to work harder. And he drives off that energy. That if you ever say that someone is better than him, he's going to show and prove that you're wrong.
He's not going to argue with you about it. He's not going to say anything
not
you
at
about
all.
It.
Yeah.
He's going to get out there on the field, the court, or whatever it is, and he's going to show.
Yeah.
And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you about the way that football or high school football is going, the direction that it is going now. And I'm speaking of this because being a youth coach, and seeing these kids come up through the ranks and then going to the high schools, it's a wave. It's a different type of wave. It's a different type of energy that's happening right now with youth programs and high school programs. Now, we have a great relationship. We always had a great relationship with the school. We try our best to get every one of our players to your school. And you guys have fully supported us through, over the course of 5 or 6 years to the fullest. Always supported us, but I think the last 5 or 6 years has been like 100% support for the Hazelcrest Mustangs and Hillcrest Hawks. The wave now is the feeder programs, the true feeder programs to these particular high schools, to particular high schools that's in their district. And one of those coming up and coming now is the Junior Hawks, the program that, you know, the Country Club Hill Cougars has flipped over to the Junior Hawks and now become a true feeder program to the Hillcrest School. But other high schools are also doing the same thing. Do you think this is the wave of the future? Like, this is what is going to be? A high school is going to have a true feeder program that's going to feed their players through the high school no matter what? Like, you think that's going to be the wave of all high schools in the future?
I absolutely do think this is going to be the wave. I think we should move towards this. Just reason why, just speaking as a high school coach from my perspective, is you look at most of the teams that go down state or even win state. A lot of those teams have strong feeders. Uh-huh. For example, think about Lincoln Way East.
Yeah,
they have two strong feeder programs. Kids that play together from 5, 6 years old all the way up and through high school. You think about Prairie Ridge. They have a strong feeder program. Those guys been playing together since they were 5, 6 years old and win the state. East St. Louis, they got a strong feeder program. So from my perspective, you know, seeing that, I would want that in my program. Started with a group of kids who can all come in together at a young age, get mentoring, great coaching, and the strong feeder program, and play together each level, moving up, moving up, moving up, moving up, and then you'll start to see success in high school because those guys are playing with each other, they know each other, it's just a chemistry and a bond that they build with each other all to achieve one common goal.
The one common goal.
I think that's huge. I think that's huge. Now, I do understand that you're not going to get every kid from the feeder. Kids, they're going to go where they want to go, and that's completely fine. But the biggest thing for me is getting these kids prepared for the next level while giving them a great experience while they're at the youth level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very important.
No doubt. I also think that that's the wave, and that the youth programs really need to get in tune with that, in with their high school that they send the kids to. And the relationship, you got to have a good relationship with the school. And you just can't be like, my kid, I just play, I coach youth football and the kids going to go whatever. But then you turn around and ask the high school, could you use your field, but yet you don't want to send no kids there. It's not a give and take, but it's like you got to work together, And I think to have a true feeder program, the experience, the mentorship, and able to come on the field and get in the gym and talk to the coaches, I think it's huge, man. I think that, it absolutely is the wave, and I fully support it 100%, 110%. And I think in the next couple of years, man, that the feeder programs that you guys going to have to feed your school is going to be huge. It's going to be huge, And I think if everyone worked together with the common goal, which is the kids and what's best for the kids, it should all work out.
Yeah, I agree. And, any youth coaches, anybody, it doesn't have to be youth coaches from the Junior Hawks or the Mustangs. Anybody want to come in and talk football with me and my staff and see what we do, see how we teach our kids, or things that we're looking for at the next level, what kids should already know, and things like that, man. Just hit us up, man. We want to talk football. We want to build a relationship with the youth coaches. So hit us up and let us know if there's anything that we can do.
That's what's up. I want to ask, man. I always wanted to ask you this. Well, I never want to bother you during the season, bro, because I know that'd be a lot. You know what I'm saying? You got a lot going on. Your whole staff have a lot going on, preparing for the next week and this and that, preparing for the next game, next opponent. At the end of the season, when you look back over those, how many games, bro? How many games you have through the season? Not counting the playoffs?
Nine games.
Last season, who would you say your hardest opponent was?
From this past season?
Yeah, this past season. Yeah, this past season.
This past season, I would say Brother Rice. That was a very tough opponent for us. The reason why I say that is because we had a week one, and basically we were going in blind. We kind of really didn't know. What we were going to see out of them, and that's hard to prepare for, especially they were just newly added to our schedule, and that's hard to prepare for as coaches, and I would say that was a tough opponent for us. Everybody knows Brother Rice, they're one of the premier programs in the state, so I would say that was just tough for us as coaches just preparing for that, that week one game.
And you got them week one this year, right?
Yeah, we got them again. We got them again week one this year. They'll be coming to Hillcrest for our home opener, which is our senior night as well.
Yeah. I talked to the Brother Rice coach last week, and they definitely trying to get prepared for you guys, man. We talked about it. They definitely trying to get ready, and that's going to be a great game. I think all you guys' game, man, is good. It's very. You don't have any pushover games, bro. I haven't seen any pushover teams come in. You guys win and win big, but I think when you pick the schedule, you're not picking any I know we're gonna blow them out 50 something to nothing. It just happens because you guys are just that good. But I think you pick the way you do the schedule is great because you have very challenging teams on the schedule.
Yeah, one thing I learned is from our 2018 team, we went 12-1, and we went undefeated during the season. Won our first couple playoff games, then we got put out by JCA.
Yeah.
That whole season we were beating teams by a lot, at least 3-4 touchdowns every game. And when we got to JCA, when we got into a real dogfight with a team, I kind of felt, looking back on that, I kind of felt that our team wasn't ready for that because we had never been in the dogfight.
Right.
So the next year, I wanted to schedule playoff type games early on in the season. So I wanted to play a brother Rice. I wanted to play, you know, an 8A school. That whole offseason, I was looking for bigger schools to play. Just so happened brother Rice had a week one open. We had a week one open. So I'm like, that's a no-brainer. We got to make that happen. Was able to get Sandberg, which is an 8A school. You know, bigger linemen, stronger kids. They can two platoon. You know, we only play with probably 30, 31 kids. They probably got around 60, 50 kids. So, you know, that's, you know, things like that. That's good for us to see early on in the season to prepare us for conference. Then we got Richards, which is who always been very, very good in 6A. It's a well-known football program as well. So, you know, those games, win or lose those games, you're going to find out a lot about your team. You're going to know how to move forward when it comes to playoff time.
Right, right.
So you can't be afraid to schedule those games. In the long run, I think it pays off.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. What's the ultimate goal for Coach Weaver, man? What do you see? I know this is what it is right now, and you know you can't foresee the future. But what do you think besides of course winning the state championship and holding that trophy? What do you think the ultimate goal is for you?
The ultimate goal is for me, continue to build my program to you know, I kind of still feel like our program isn't really respected on a state level.
Really?
I feel like we still have a lot of way to go as a program. Until we host a state trophy, multiple of them, I won't be satisfied. So I'm gonna keep grinding it out, until I feel like, you know, not until I feel like, but I'm just keep grinding until we're on that elite level that I think we should be at.
Right, right. That's what's up, man. Look, we can go on forever talking about this. Is there anything else that you want to share with the people? Anything you want to, you know, any teams you want to call out? Anybody?
Nah, no teams. Nah, count no teams out. But I just want to, you know, tell the people, man, come out, support these kids, man, because it makes a difference, you know, when the kids know the community is behind them. You know, just I think about our quarterfinal game last year against St. Rita, man. The stands weren't even half full. You know, St. Rita's side fully packed. Some of their fans started coming on our side, man. I just think we got to do better as a community and come out and support these guys, man. I know it's cold. Man, get you a couple blankets. Get you a first down coat or whatever it is. Getting them stands to support these guys. There's no reason why we shouldn't have a packed house. Yeah. You know, at a quarterfinal game, semifinal game, second round game, you know, or any game, you know, I feel like our game should be packed because kids feed off that. They feed off their energy when they know the community is fully behind them.
Right, right, right. You think we got fair weather friends? I mean, fans. With 75 degrees, you packed, bro.
yeah, 75 degrees. Yeah, we are packed, but yeah. You know, when it's cold out there, you know, kids, you know, we come out.
Yeah,
we come out to warm up, and our stands are empty. But yeah. You look on the visitor side, and their stands is packed. I mean, 2 years ago, Chatham Glenwood from Springfield, they came up to play us. We come out to warm up, our stands are empty. And on the visitors side, they're coming from 2-3 hours away, and they're almost half full. So, right. You know, that stuff makes a difference for our kids. And, you know, they tell us all the time, man, like, man, our games and the playoffs need to be rocking because, you know, they feed off the energy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we find other ways to get them going. Of course, but it helps a lot when you got those stands packed out. So let's make sure we pack them games out next season, man. Well, I mean, we love our fans. We appreciate all the support, of course. of course. But we want them games packed at all times.
Right. Y'all hear it here, man. Come to those Hillcrest Hawks games. Pack them stands every game. Away, home and away. Home and away. We need to be there and support these kids, support this coaching staff every game. Of course. Every game. Yes. Morgan, let me ask you, how old are you?
Just turned 28 on Christmas Eve.
Do y'all hear that? This dude is 28 years old. 28. Yeah, you're going to be doing, yeah, you got 30 more years of this, man.
God willing, man.
At 28, the head football coach, you got to be one of the youngest in the state, probably.
I might be. When I first started, I was 25, and I think I was the youngest at the time. You know, I'm still learning. I'm still growing as a head coach, man. So I appreciate all the support. You know, that I get from everybody, all the love. I mean, it is appreciated, man. I truly love what I do. I love working with these boys, and I love helping them secure their future. So.
What did you get your degree in, Mo?
Well, a lot of people don't know this, man. I actually got my degree in cardiac rehab.
Wow. Wow. That's a long way from the football field, bro.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've got my degree in cardiac rehab. She worked in the hospital, straight out of college. Once I got the head coach job, I ultimately flipped and took a job in the school so I could be closer to my guys and be there for those guys as much as I can be.
Man, and that's a little pay cut too, bro. Gotta be a little pay cut.
Definitely, man. But I mean, I don't feel like I'm working, you know, especially when I'm out there with them. You know, it's just a blessing, you know, when you see a kid like they say, I got an offer or a coach, you know, signing day, you know, when you see things like that and you just see kids turn their life around or, you know, I appreciate things like that, man. It's never about the money for me. I just truly love what I do. So, you know, pay cut or not, it is what it is. As long as I'm able to help, you know, somebody. You know, if it's just one kid, as long as I'm able to help somebody, you know, that's important to me.
Yeah. If you help one, man, we did our job. I always looked at that. If we help one get to that next level, man, and make life better for themselves and their family, then you know, we did our job as coaches. I always believe that, man. So once I see a kid graduate from eighth grade, go to high school and be successful through high school and then graduate and go to college, and you guys hand them, you know, we hand them off to y'all and you guys hand them off to college, man, I feel so good when I see those kids that I have personally, you know, I feel I had my hand on through that youth age, you know. And see the Lamont Bishops and the Darius Dawsons and, you know, Marcus and Martez Garrett, you know, both of them, you know, then man, it's amazing to see that. And man, my heads go off to the whole Hillcrest staff and every high school coach, really, you know. It's not because we, you know, those kids go everywhere that we personally know and as youth coaches put our hands on. And to see them go on to the next level of college, man, it's a great thing. It's great, you know. And I still get texts and inboxes from parents, man, you know, saying thank you for what you've done. And I feel like I have done nothing, you know. Like that's how I feel. Like, because, of course, we don't get paid for doing this at all. You know, it's all volunteer work for us as youth. And for a parent to inbox me and say, you know, if it wasn't for you guys – not letting him quit and, you know, keep staying on him, you know, he wouldn't go to college and this and that. And he wouldn't be where he at right now. And I'm like, man, well, it don't just be us. You know, it really take a village. You know, so it takes good parenting. You know, it takes the parents, it takes the coaches, it takes the high school coaches and all to make this happen.
It does. I agree, man. The parents, to me, they are the most important piece.
Yes.
You know, of the support, you know, we want to have a great relationship with the parents, you know, the high school coaches. That way, you know, we got that kid in the middle and we just hitting them from both sides.
Yep.
You know, it's not just coming from one side of things. So, so parent involvement is key. You know, one of my assistant coaches, Keith Franklin, who's also a former Mustang.
Yes, sir. Shout out to Keith. Yeah, the whole Franklin clan.
He actually handles all of our academic stuff and makes sure guys are qualified to go. But we were talking the other day, and he said something that was so true is. A lot of the kids, for the most part, that you see go on and be successful, they got strong parents behind them.
Yeah.
And that's very true. It's not always like that. But for the most part, most of the kids that you see that go on and achieve their dreams and goals, they got a strong, parents behind them.
No doubt. I talked to all your coaches, but I remember having this conversation with one of your coaches maybe 3 years ago, and we was talking about situations that a kid was going through and some things that some adversity that a kid had to go through, and I was feeling real down about the situation. I'm just talking to him, and he said, "Ken, listen, you guys had them kids for 2 hours a day, and in those 2 hours, you try to instill in him the ethics and morals and discipline for him to carry on the other 22. But the other 22 hours is somebody else in his ear that's probably not, that's telling him not to listen to what you guys are teaching.
Yep, yep.
And that's Coach L. And I use that, and I tell everyone I talk to that when it comes to us and mentoring and coaching these kids, that we do what we can with the time that we have, but we just can't be the only ones. We need that parent got to back us up. We can't say, hey, the parent come and say, hey, man, the kid is not acting right in school. This is grades. We as coaches got to say, okay, well, he not going to play. Bring him to practice, but he not playing in the game. But the parent come and say, why my kid not playing in the game? Well, your kid not playing because this is how he acted in practice, and this is how he acted in school. So, no, we can't reward him with giving him the game play. If they don't back you up in those type of things, then there's nothing that you're doing. Nothing that you do is going to matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing.
And to me, that is especially huge on the youth level.
Absolutely.
Because, when we get kids and they come to high school, and, we're no tolerance. We don't mind sitting kids, when they mess up. And a lot of kids aren't used to that if they have never been through that.
They never been through that, yeah.
So, if it's done early on and the parents are on board with everything, that just, that makes life a lot easier. And you'll see this kid start to change and start to see more success as they go on.
Yeah. No doubt. Well, I know that what in this job, man, that we have, the job that you have, it's a blessing to work hand in hand with you, in the way that we do, the things that you guys do for us in our organization, man. We, as an organization, man, oblige, 100% appreciate the Hillcrest staff, man, and all the help that you guys do, from you and your brother Weave to your cousin to the freshman coaches, everyone, It's great, man, and we're going to make this thing work, no doubt. And we're going to continue to do what we do to serve the community and those outside the community, and we're going to make sure that our job and what we do is not overseen by anything else. No doubt.
For sure.
Morgan, man, I appreciate you and the time, man. It's been a great discussion. To tap into your thoughts and what you do and what you guys go through. Again, my hats are off to you, and I wish nothing but success in 2020, and I know it's going to happen. And, oh, man, you got Trail. A good season, I think, for you guys, man, and everything going forward, man. I wish you all the success. Thank you for giving me this time to talk to you, bro, and to tap into your psyche a little bit. Anything else you want to tap on to or let out before we end this?
Yeah, man, I just want to say, shout out to all the high school coaches out there, man. That's in it every day, just going through the grind, off-season workouts, you know, planning and things that, you know, everything that comes with being a high school coach, man. You know, let's keep working and, you know, let's have a great 2020 season.
My man, thank you, Morgan Weaver, man, head coach of Hillcrest Varsity Football Team. Great guy, man. Great kid. Only 28 years old, so man, the future is bright, bright for those kids over there. They gotta come in touch with you, come in contact with you, and get on your team, man. It's a great thing.
Yes, sir, man. I can't wait, man. I can't wait to get back out there working with my dogs. I know they're anxious, and I'm anxious. Our whole coaching staff is anxious. We've been talking football for the past month or so we ready to get to work.
That's it. Hey, this Listen to Me podcast, Ken Cook. My conversation today was with Coach Morgan Weaver, Hillcrest Football. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks, Coach.
Yes, sir.
All right.